I don't know if you've had a good summer. It feels like it's all coming to an end when officially the schools go back. But I don't know if you've had a good summer, but I've certainly had an amazing summer, particularly spiritually. I feel that God's been doing quite a lot in my life in particular. And we had a visitor to our church, and Alistair said to me, "Rosie, all the pastors are on holiday. You're the only one here, so you need to hang out with this guy and tell him everything that we do at SBC and show him round." And I had strict instructions about everything I had to do on that day. So I was like, sure, you know, I'm quite happy to meet up with this guy and show him a little bit about our church. And this guy is one of the pastors of a really very, very large church in America. We could call it mega church. I think particularly for us in Scotland, we don't really understand what a mega church would look like and how it would work, because we don't have churches here in our country of thousands and thousands of people. But I was quite excited about meeting this guy. I thought I could ask him loads and loads of questions. So I did. I was picking his brain the whole day, asking him about this and just trying to get my head around, how do you run a church with thousands of people? And he was quite gracious in answering some of my questions. And then he said to me, I mean, I can't remember exact figures. He says, "Yeah, Rosie, we have a staff of 180 people." And I was like, wow, that is amazing. I couldn't imagine what a church that staff. And then he started to share a little bit about his heart and stuff. And I just felt God's presence and just the wisdom that he had to offer, that I could really learn a lot from this guy. And then he said, "I've got a book for you, Rosie." I was like, okay, sure, something free. I'm really up for that. And we were with some of the others, leadership, and he gave us all a book. And he says, "You know, when someone comes and joins the staff at our church, you know, after we've interviewed and we feel that they're the right person for the church, we say, it's really important for you to read this book. Because if you really disagree with a lot of the things in this book, you really don't want to come and work for us as a church. Because this is kind of the principles, obviously the Bible. It's based on the Bible, by the way. I just thought I'd say that. But these are the kind of principles. This is the way that we do church." So I was like, oh, wow, cool. Cheers for the book. I thought that's really nice. And it just sat on a shelf for most of the summer. And then I thought, you know, I'm really interested in how these guys do church. So I'm going to read this book. And I started reading it, and you know, I just really felt challenged on so many different things. And tonight, I'm just going to share a little bit of the overflow of what I've really been challenged about, because the book's called A God-Centered Church. And I think that's everyone's desire when we love God with all our hearts and everything that we are, that particularly as a leadership, you know, we want to be a God-centered church. We want to do things the best way that we can. And if another church is doing something that we can learn from, well, why not? Why not tap into some of that? So I'm going to share a little bit about what it means to have a God-centered church. And some of the stuff that I'm going to say is fairly basic. But, you know, I think there's something really powerful and really special when God gives us a fresh revelation. So I don't know, are you up for that tonight? Are you up for a fresh revelation of whatever God wants to do? Sometimes when we think about God's love and we think about how much God loves us, when we think about these things, we can be overwhelmed by how many scriptures that we have. And sometimes I think we can question certain times in our journey in our faith and think, do you know, we have the Bible, it tells all these great things about God, but sometimes we can just stop growing. And sometimes as Christians, we can say, you know, I'm just not that passionate anymore. I just don't have that desire, the same desire that I had when I first became a Christian. And it just brings us to a place where we really question, what is this salvation all about? When we're saved, why is it sometimes as Christians, we just miss out on some stuff and we don't always get it? You know, if we truly, fully understand what it means to be a Christian and what God fully intends about what that relationship would look like, would it really change the way that we live our lives today? Sometimes I think that we can know that, yes, I've become a Christian, I asked Jesus into my heart, and God's in my life, and that's great. I'm going to heaven, and that's good, and I'm going to go to church every week. But then there's a few other things that slip in during the week where maybe God's not really a part of our lives, and it's definitely a big challenge. But one of the things that I really want to share with you tonight is that God is not really interested in making us successful at everything that we do. God's desire and his heart's desire is for us to experience the full measure of his salvation. God's desire is that we understand the heart of God as we go deeper and as we journey with him. And sometimes we don't get it, and sometimes we really struggle in our Christian walks. And tonight I just want to take us on a journey where I want to just maybe highlight a couple of things that will help us to experience all that God's got for us. And some of us might be focused on more one than the other, but when we link the two together and ask God for a fresh revelation, I really believe it will bring transformation. So let's pray together just before I read a few passages from God's word. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you're a great and awesome God. And Lord, I thank you that you just desire a relationship with us. And sometimes, God, we just don't always get things right. And sometimes, Father, we don't give you the place that you deserve in our lives. And Lord, as we journey tonight, I pray that you will take us to a place that will just rekindle that passion and that love that we have for you. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think when you're preaching on a theme, sometimes it's not quite as simple as I'm going to read a passage of scripture and then just preach from it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take three passages of scripture throughout what I want to say, and just so that I'll unpack that as we're kind of going along. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. I just want to read it a little bit to you. Because what I want to talk about, what it really means to be placed into a loving relationship with God. And Peter here is talking about this great salvation. He's talking about how incredible it is that of what Christ has done for us, and that we're in this relationship and God's holy so we can be holy. It's really, really exciting. I just feel that sense when he's talking. And then he comes on to this verse in verse 22, 1 Peter 1, verse 22, and he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And here's Peter's bringing out a few little things here, but this whole bit about love, about loving others because of this incredible relationship that we now have with God, this great salvation that we've entered into, and it's free when we make that decision to follow God. But sometimes the way that we live our lives as Christians, people can't always identify that we do belong to God. And I read recently someone saying that the most identifiable characteristic of our salvation is the quality of our love. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. That is a really good statement. The most identifiable characteristic of our salvation is the quality of our love. First, towards God, and then towards his people. God's strategy to touch this world is linked with these two basic relationships. You know, and sometimes we can be more focused on one, where we're thinking, yeah, I'm loving God and that's great, and you're falling out with someone here and speaking badly of someone there and gossiping about this person here and putting them down here. Things sometimes just slip in, but I'm loving Jesus. But we're putting these two things together, these two relationships, that loving God and loving others, and just how closely and how intertwined they are, is a very, very powerful statement. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40. Jesus was asked, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment, and the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend on the law and the prophets. And what's really interesting is sometimes when you journey with people and they've not quite made a decision to follow God, and they might say, you know, I do feel there's something missing in my life. I really do feel that there's something, I've just not quite grasped what it is. And we as Christians can say, you know, oh yeah, we have the answer. But you know what's even more worrying is that Christians come along and are saying the exact same thing. I feel there's something missing in my life. I just don't sense God's presence all the time, or I just feel that there's something that's just not quite right. And that's really, really worrying. You know, it's really, really important that we understand as Christians of what our inheritance is. That we understand fully that when we become a Christian, that we enter into this relationship with God, and we have access to absolutely everything. I mean, the Bible is full of everything that we've got access to. And sometimes we just need a fresh revelation of that. We don't have to worry. Don't be anxious about anything. But through prayer and petition, give all your requests to God because he cares for you. We don't have to worry about the direction because when we come into God's presence and we just see, can you show us which way to go? We don't have to worry about who we're going to marry. God has it all sorted. And he'll lead you to that right person at the right time. Are we loving God so much that we are really reaping the benefits of what this loved relationship looks like? Or do we give our life to Jesus and say, yeah, I'm loving God, but actually I'm just taking all this stuff on myself? I was reading this great illustration this week, and this pastor in a church, he had a little granddaughter, and the little granddaughter was just his son and his daughter-in-law had a wee girl. And she was a year old, and they were just wondering there was something not quite right with her. And they started to do lots of tests and different things, and her development was a little bit slow. And she was walking and different things, but there was just a few things that weren't right. And the son phoned this pastor, his dad, and he said, Dad, we've just found out that she's got cerebral palsy. And he just had this kind of sense of devastation that, oh, this is just an awful thing that can happen to a family. Just to receive that news. And the father just listened to his son, just pouring out his heart on the phone. And he says, son, I'm just going to pray for you. That's all I can do in the midst of this really difficult situation is just to pray. And he came off the phone and he went into his study and he just cried. And he just said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but do you know what? We love this little girl. And it's not easy to come to terms with news like that. But just show us how we can love her more and more and more and accept her into our family. And the next weekend they came to visit, and here's this little girl bouncing all over the place, and she just loved her papa. You know, she just wanted to hang out with him all the time. Out of the whole family, he was the favorite. You know, if he was sitting down, she wanted to sit on his knee. If he moved and walked to another room, she was going to follow, and she was hanging onto his leg, and he was like, wow, God, you're so amazing bringing this little girl into my life. I just love her to bits, despite the fact that she's got a disability. I don't care about that. But God, you show us how to love her through all the different challenges that are going to be ahead as a family. I know, and sometimes I think we need to grasp that with God. Just that love that he has for us. And we can know it in our head and we can think, yeah, 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 I've got it. I've got it, Rosie. But actually, if we really get it, sometimes we forget things. Sometimes we don't experience things. And sometimes we just need to fall at the foot of the cross and say, Father, I just need a fresh revelation of your love. I don't know if you know anyone that's dating or been dating recently, or you can remember the time if you're married when you first started dating. There's just that whole sense of excitement. There's that whole sense of, oh, I can't wait to see the person. Texting, emails, all the different technology that you have that you can communicate. I'm sure I'm going to miss a few things out. The smiling, the giggling, the laughter. It's amazing. And guys, it shouldn't end when you get married. It should still be there. But you know, just that whole excitement of being in a relationship is something really, it's like new. And maybe sometimes we need to go back and say, God, I want it. Show me what it was like when we first started hanging out and we started hanging out together. And that's a desire, should be a desire of each and every one of us. So that's just a little bit deeper into being placed in a relationship with God. It's a reminder to us of what that looks like. And the second thing I want to say is about being placed into the spiritual family and the importance of that. Because according to God's divine plan of salvation, those who enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ automatically enter into the family of God. God has no orphans. And I don't know if you've heard people say, oh, I'm doing pretty well in my Christian faith. I don't need to be going to a house group. I don't need to go to a prayer group. I don't need to go to church. I've got it all sussed. And I'm sure loads of us have heard things like that, but actually, part of God's plan and this great salvation is that we enter into relationship with others in the church, or call it church, other brothers and sisters in Christ. When a baby is born into a family, you know, it doesn't just arrive in a cardboard box in the hospital with a wee note, this is how to feed yourself, this is how to change your nappies. A baby arrives into a family that's going to care and nurture and love so that this little baby can grow. And if that doesn't happen, then that child will live a dysfunctional life because that love and that care is so, so important. And we need to get that too. We need to understand the importance of the family, the spiritual family that God has placed us into, and take that seriously, that responsibility. It just comes with being saved. It comes with coming into relationship with God. The automatic thing is that we're now part of a spiritual family. It's exciting. Some of you might think, oh no, that's really, it's hard. It is hard. But family life is hard and it's not easy. And I accept that. But that's why we need God to help us. A pastor was chatting to a couple about getting involved in church. And he says, you know, you fancy getting involved? I would really love to see you a little bit more. And they said, right, they had a wee think about his request. And then they said, actually, no, our faith is, we've got quite a private faith. And coming along on a Sunday is probably, you know, just that's how we want to do things. And he went away really discouraged and really just saddened in his heart, because he thought, where did he get this whole idea that faith should be private? Because it's certainly not biblical. Our faith should be intensely personal, but never private. And sometimes we can lose track along the way, and we can live our lives, particularly when we're interacting with different people, and they would think, yeah, this person has got a private faith. I don't know much about it. Today, many people acknowledge that they're Christians, but they don't always want to get involved with God's people. There is no connection, but do you know God's desire and his plan and his purpose is there is a strong connection there. Christians are not orphans, and that's not God's plan and God's purpose for anyone to be living the Christian life on their own. Salvation automatically makes God our Father and every other believer in this world, not just in this church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if you've ever been anywhere in the world and you've met other Christians, and it's really exciting to say, yeah, we're all one in Jesus. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. But 1 John says a really, really strong verse that I've really been chewing on this week. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 to 21 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. Cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him, that whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's God's desire, that we are in love relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when we're born into families, we automatically experience lots of different things. I mean, I'm sure you can think of your own earthly family. You know, the good times, the bad times, the times that you fall out, the times that you make up, a little bit of reconciliation, the times that you think, oh, people are so annoying. Or you just shut your door and you don't want to see someone for a while. Sometimes it can be like that. And when we look at the story of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and we see the pain and the suffering that these people together as a family went through, and then the way that God rescued them, and the way that God loved them, and the way that he provided for them. They suffered, they rejoiced together, and they experienced the incredible power of God during their time of Exodus. But this family, God provided manna from heaven. He provided quail, he provided water from the rock, and it was just incredible, the things and the miraculous things that God did, and they were able to rejoice together. They had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And their heavenly Father was looking after them. And it's just really incredible that we can experience some of these things together as family, as part of the body of Christ. And I think as Christians, sometimes God asks us to do things and to reach out to others. And sometimes we can hold back because we think, oh no, that's too much work. Or that involves me changing my plans. Or this involves, you know, how are we doing with this whole loving our brothers and sisters thing? Are we in good relationship with others? Do we seek to develop friendships and to reach out to people who are needy? I had a big challenge last autumn. A lot of you know that we had a Chinese girl, Olivia, living with us. And she was part of our house group in the summer, and she became a Christian, and she kept hassling me. She's like, Rosie, I want to work for the church. And I was like, Olivia, there's no jobs in the church. you know, and we would journey this whole thing. It was getting so annoying. I was like, oh, this girl's driving me nuts. But she was so excited about her faith in Jesus and her relationship with God. She just wanted to serve God. And I went away and I was praying about this whole thing. And I know how much work it is when you create intern opportunities, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, my life's so busy. I can't. Oh, no. And then I would hear this whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, Rosie, you need to create this girl an opportunity. So I ignored the voice for a month. And then I just couldn't do it any longer because I was loving God and I knew what the right thing was. I needed confirmation because it was going to be uncomfortable because it was about taking a risk. It was about opening up our home and allowing someone to come in and creating an opportunity in this church. And I didn't know how it would go just to serve God and to volunteer in lots of different departments. And so, you know, she came and lived with us. And we had the most incredible time with her. And I look back and I think, I'm sorry, God, for ever thinking that this was going to be hard work. I'm sorry for ever thinking that, oh, what a hassle. When actually this girl was such a blessing to us. It was incredible. And sometimes I think that we miss out on some of the things or living our full life the way that God intended us because we're not always listening to the things that God says to us about meeting needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We went through probably one of the hardest autumns last autumn when Olivia was staying with us with job loss and then my dad passed away. And I think, my goodness, this poor girl, she's in her home and here she is. Rosie, can I clean? Can I cook? Can I do all these things? It was really funny because she would get words mixed up. She used to get chicken and kitchen mixed up. She would tell us that she was going downstairs to the chicken. And I'm like, you mean the kitchen? You know, we had lots of hilarity. But here we are going through one of the most painful and really awful times in our life. And here's this girl just loving Jesus, serving Jesus, and being a part of our family. And you know, I've never felt so blessed about giving her that opportunity, but something really special happened, and it's something I'll always remember. She decided that she had this little thin jacket. I don't know if they all wear thin jackets in China, but anyway, it was November in Scotland, and it was getting a bit crazy and cold. And she would walk to church, and she would walk back, and in the rain, and she had this skimpy umbrella. And I'm like, Olivia, you really need a warm jacket. Have you got one? Oh, yes, Rosie, I have one. And she would get out this jacket, but it wasn't really that warm. And I said, you know, a good shop to go to is TK Maxx. It's my favourite shop, by the way. It's really good, particularly if you get a good bargain. She's like, okay. So anyway, I think I forgot about the conversation, and a couple of weeks later, off she goes to TK Maxx, and she finds a jacket. And she comes home and she's like, Rosie, do you like my jacket? I was like, sure. It was like a bench and it was really, really cheap. It was in the clearance department. And she was like, I was looking at the price. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And she put it on and she would do a wee twirl. And, you know, we were just being girls in the house. The next day she gets on, it's really cold, and off she goes to work. And I'm like, fantastic. But then during that time, my father passed away and there was a lot of things going on. And I didn't actually realize that Olivia had a conversation with Kirk. And she really had met my dad, and she really wanted to go to the funeral. And she'd never been to a funeral in Scotland. So she was saying to Kirk, what do I wear to a funeral? What's it like? Can you explain all these different things? And obviously with the language, our English was fairly good, but with the language barrier, I think Kirk had said you need to dress, most people dress smart, you know, type of thing. So he might have mentioned the word skirt, and she thought, I need to get a skirt. I need to buy a skirt. Okay, so The next day, I'm taking her to work. Obviously, I've got to have some time out because of all the different things that are going on. And here's this big TK Maxx bag with this big black thing stuffed in it. And I was just like, what is she doing? But you know, sometimes when you're emotionally exhausted with some of the things that are going on in your own life, I just thought, I'm not going to ask. But I knew the jacket was in the bag. I thought, oh, I can't be bothered asking why she's taking it back. I didn't understand. So I drop her off to work because I was going that way anyway. And I came home and Kirk tells me about this conversation they've had about the funeral. And I was like, do you know what? She's taken that jacket back so that she can buy something for the funeral, a skirt. And she comes home from work just before she's going out to serve at the Alpha course. And she says, Rosie, I bought a skirt. Do you want to see it? Do you think this will be okay for your dad's funeral? And I said, yeah, it's lovely. It's beautiful. Yeah. And she mentioned nothing about the jacket. And as I was really praying about it, and I was saying to Kirk, I really feel that God's saying to me that I need to go and get that jacket, because the fact that someone would make that sacrifice for me was really special, and it was no weight off our budget to buy a jacket for someone who maybe didn't have enough money at the end of her stay to have both. And so, The Alpha guys came and picked her up, and off she goes away to the Alpha course. So off I go and pop into TK Maxx, really praying that this jacket will still be there. And I go in and I said to this girl, I says, oh, this Chinese girl came this morning and handed back this jacket. It can't be every day that a Chinese person comes back and hands back a jacket. And I said, oh, it was about 10 o'clock this morning. Do you guys still have, oh, yeah, we remember her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, we'll have a look. The sales assistant took me around the shop. I'll be back on the rail having a look at all the jackets. Nothing was there. She said, I'm really, really sorry. It's been sold. And I said, oh, that's fine. So I carried on in the you know, when you go into these shops, sometimes you get a bit carried away. You do, time is just no issue. So I was away wandering around, and people were phoning. My phone was going all the time. I ended up being in a conversation with someone for an hour in TK Maxx. And then I still wanted to buy a couple of things. So I end up, I don't know, I'm 1 hour, 2 hours in the shop. And then I go to the counter to buy this one item that I was going to get. And the woman said to me, are you still here? We've been looking for you. We found the jacket. It was through the back. And I was like, oh, fantastic. And here was this jacket. I was like, yeah, that's the one. And it was just an honour to take the jacket home and to fold it all up and set it on her bed. And she came home and she said, she came home from doing the Alpha course that night, and she came home and she just went upstairs and she saw the jacket and she came down and she just burst into tears. And she said, Rosie, why would you do something like that? She was just overwhelmed that people would care. And I said, because you're family. We do these sort of things for family. If it's really important. But to think back that I could have missed that opportunity to experience everything that God had for us by saying no to having this girl come and stay. Sometimes we need to be asking ourselves, God, how can I love our brothers and sisters in Christ? And what does that look like for my situation? Sometimes we need to be looking around us and asking God where he wants to use us. The local church is crucial, really crucial, to the life of every believer as they grow deeper in their relationship with God. And I want to really challenge us tonight about how you view those in the family of God. Do you really see your brothers and sisters as family? Because one of the hardest things that when we look around is that how can we witness to a world out there when people look at the church? And they see us falling out, they see us arguing with each other, they see us saying things about each other. John chapter, an incredible verse that I've just been kind of living out over the last couple of weeks. It said, in John, a new commandment I give to you, that you will love one another, just as I loved you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I think that's one of the most powerful things that we can read, that people will know that we belong to Jesus by the way that we love others. And you know, it's really important that we all work together, whether we have a leadership role in our church or whether we're here in a serving capacity, because we're all part of the body of Christ. But if we want to have a God-centered church, we really need to live out this stuff. We need to ask God for a fresh revelation of his love and to really know what it is to grow in that relationship with him. And when it comes to experiencing the full measure of the salvation that we've received when we said that yes to God, we need to take these two relationships seriously. Our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Surely, that's the most effective way to do mission and to reach our world. But not because we have to, but because we want to. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for how much you love us. And God, sometimes we just don't get it. And sometimes we do. But Lord, I pray that no matter where we are in our journey, Father, that you will just show us how to fall more and more and more in love with you. God, help us not to stop growing, but just to have a little reality check. And even in when we don't always listen to you, Father, you still love us anyway. You keep loving us. And Lord, I pray that you will show us how to rekindle that fire within our hearts. God, I pray that you will show us how to go deeper with you. And you will reveal more of yourself to us. Lord, I pray that your love will just be flowing out of us, Father, that it impacts every area of our lives. And Lord, when it comes to relationships, it's so complicated sometimes, and it's not easy. But Father, just show us how to love each other. Show us how to care for each other. Show us how to support each other. Forgive us for the attitude when we sometimes think, oh, I can't be bothered. Lord, show us how to live this sacrificial life that involves reaching out. And lead us, Lord, where you want to, this week in particular. And God, I pray for those who are here who are journeying and have not made that commitment. And Father, I pray that they will make that commitment tonight. Show them who you are, Father, and the great and awesome God that you truly are. I just ask this in your name. Amen.